be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. In the Red Pew Bibles, oops, I don't have the page number there. Who has a page number? 1080. 1080. Thank you. Mark chapter 3, chapter 13, I'm sorry, chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. But just to set the context a little bit, this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. And so he gives this prophecy about Jerusalem and the temple, and that there will be no stone left upon another. And so the disciples ask him, when is this time coming? Which basically is the time of judgment that's coming upon the whole world. And so it was foretold by all the prophets in the Old Testament, and now it's being foretold again by Jesus. So we pick up Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. As he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, marking the 48th anniversary, hard to believe, of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion. Usually we talk about the personal issues involved, and I think that is very important for people that we know or know people who know other people to just reinforce that, in fact, we're talking about a living being, and we're talking about a human being. Personally, it's a very important decision to make. But also on the other side of that, we as a church need to be very responsive to those who have already been involved in such things, either directly or indirectly, and to give a word of God's forgiveness and God's comfort for those who have suffered through this kind of thing with tremendous regrets later on. And so there is healing and forgiveness in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And we need to always be aware of that and be ready to share that with those who are hurting because of this. But today what I wanted to talk about is considering more the national issues of the sins of the nation. What is the impact of this on our country and on the world? Well, as we look to the Bible for answers, we know that Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 586 BC by the Babylonians. The prophets gave many warnings that if they did not repent, that this judgment would be coming. The people did not listen, and sure enough, the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem and the whole city, including the temple. Well, they were given other warnings throughout, including by Jesus himself, and that's what we hear today when the disciples were asking him, when will this happen? And he said, basically, it's going to happen again. that unless people repent, once again, this city will be destroyed. And in fact, it was destroyed in the year 70 AD by the Romans, who came and completely leveled the whole temple to the mount. And so we would ask, you know, why would God allow his people and his city to suffer such tremendous destruction and devastation? Well, we're told that this was God's judgment. He told them beforehand, my judgment is coming, and it's coming for two reasons. Two reasons. The first is idolatry, putting other gods in the place of God. And the second was the taking of innocent lives. Psalm 106 tells us, quote, they served their idols, which became a snare to them. That's idolatry. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people. And so he warned them, and they would not listen. And so the judgment of God came. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 19, God said, behold, I am bringing such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. He's saying it's going to be so devastating, so bad, the devastation, that anybody who hears of this, their ears will tingle out of how horrible this is going to be. Jeremiah goes on to say, because the people have forsaken me, have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah had known. This again is idolatry, offering these sacrifices to demons and to other gods. And then the second reason, he says, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it come to my mind. It's like God is saying, you know, you people are doing something. I couldn't even fathom that you would do such a thing. And here you are doing this. It didn't even come to my mind that you would do such a thing. And look, here's what you're doing. Therefore, he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no more be called Topheth, but be called the Valley of Slaughter. Judgment would be coming. Time and time again, in fact, God called his people to repent, but they would not listen. I did a search on people not listening to the voice of God. I found 34 different references in the scriptures. 34 different times God says, look, listen, listen, listen. And the people would not listen. Even Jesus said, let them who have ears to hear, hear. Hear what I'm saying. This is really important. Just one example was Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices. That means you're bringing this upon yourself, folks. The fruit of their own devices. Because they have not paid attention to my words, as for my law, they have rejected it. And so God's judgment was coming. And it came. Israel was doing the same things that are being done today. Very same things. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us, woe to those who call good evil and evil good and deprive the innocent of their rights. Isn't that what we hear today? People calling good evil and evil good. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the book of Judges is a constant record of God's people turning away from him. And then the enemy comes and overwhelms them. They call out to God and he sends a judge or a ruler to come and to save them. Time and time again, what happens? They for a while obey and then they fall away again. And their enemies come over them again. And again they cry out to God and again he sends them another judge. Time and time again. Well, this is how the book of Judges ends. People didn't learn anything. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Oh my goodness, how descriptive that is of today, isn't it? Everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. Well, as we heard in our reading from Acts chapter 17, Paul told the people of Athens, quote, the time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn, because He has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And he says we know who that man is because God raised him from the dead. He is Jesus of Nazareth. Times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he's calling all people everywhere to repent, to turn from these idolatries, and to turn from the killing of the innocent. For the judgment of God will come, a day of judgment has been appointed, and the judge will be he who was raised from the dead, Jesus of Nazareth. So now is the day of repentance, of turning, because soon will be the day of judgment. If we as a people do not turn, the people of Israel didn't do it twice. They were warned twice. Jerusalem was destroyed. I believe God's prophecies are as applicable for us today. If we do not turn from idolatry and the killing of the innocents, we are going to see judgment upon our land. Now, sermons are supposed to be uplifting things, right? We're here to build up the body of Christ. We're here to make sure we keep our joy and don't let the enemy steal our joy. And so my real message today is that if we see things happening in the world, if we see things happening, at least we can understand why they are happening. One of my favorite sayings, and this is kind of a paraphrase of an exact quote, but basically it's, we can endure any what if we only know the why. Think about that. I think it makes sense. If we're going to the dentist, and the dentist, we know it's going to hurt, but we understand why it's going to hurt is because it, you know, I've got a cavity or whatever, and they've got to drill it, and I know it's going to be temporary, I know it's going to hurt, but I know it's for my own good. So if something is happening that's bad for us, but we know why it's happening, then we can better endure it. Doesn't that make sense? And so I think that's the hope for us today. What I want to get across is this idea that if, in fact, there's judgment coming upon this land, one, we will certainly deserve it because of our idolatry and because of our disregard for the sanctity of human life. If it does come upon our land, at least we who know the word of God can say, well, you know what? God warned us, didn't he? He told us it was going to come unless we turn from our ways. And so in that respect, we could still understand that God is faithful, God is true, God's still in control. Because he told us, people, if you don't listen to my words, this is what's going to happen. And so far, people are not listening. And they're not turning. Now, I do believe, as I said a couple weeks ago, that it's the problem is that people who are called by God's name, some 70% of Americans claim to be Christian. And God says, people who are called by my name must repent, humble themselves, and turn from their ways. So I believe it's that 70% that if our country voted 70% according to Christian biblical principles, this issue of the sanctity of human life would not even be an important issue. Because we'd be electing people who uphold the sanctity of human life. They would be appointing judges and justices who acknowledge the sovereignty of God and the sanctity of human life. And this wouldn't even be an issue. And God's judgment would not be coming upon us. So what is the problem? It's not us, I believe. I think maybe the 10%. I had this theory, by the way, that I think there's 10% who are the remnant, the ones who will be saved. I believe foreordained by God, 10%. I believe there's another 10% that are just evil people, the devil. I just believe that. It's that 80% in between. That's where the battleground is, that 80% that can be swayed back and forth, and well, it's not that big an issue, and no, well, this is important, well, that's important. So that's that 80% that we want to try to witness to and to pray for, that their hearts would be turned to understand these words of warning that God's giving in his word. Turn from idolatry, turn from the ways of the world, turn and give our hearts and follow God's word. In accordance with God's word, to acknowledge the sovereignty of all human life. All human life belongs to God. And if we do not acknowledge that, God's judgment is going to come upon us. So I think it's pretty clear. And so I would say, if we understand that if it comes upon us, those who are here as the church will be affected by it. I'd like to hear to people who believe in the rapture, you know, before all this happens, we're just going to be raptured up, you know, beam me up, Scotty, and we're going to miss all this. And I hope to God those people are right, because that would be nice, you know, to be able to miss it. But it seems there's going to be at least something, because Jesus says, we just heard in our word, he says, those who endure to the end will be saved. So I do think the church is in somehow, some way, going to come under some kind of hard time and trials and persecutions, as Jesus said. But we need to understand, if this is happening to the world, we understand at least why it's happening. And that those who endure to the end, we will be saved. And so the application of this, I pray, is twofold. One is that we could still have joy in the midst of this, still believe in the sovereignty of God. The king is still on the throne, despite all the stuff that's going on. In fact, all the stuff we see going on is what he foretold us would happen if we would not repent and turn from our ways. And so I hope that's one important message for us. The other is in terms of our prayers. I do believe the more specific our prayers are, the more powerful our prayers are. I mentioned this last week, and it was kind of a new way of me praying. I've never prayed this before. But I am now praying for the destruction of these institutions that are disregarding the sanctity of human life. I am praying, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I am praying for the destruction of Planned Parenthood. Okay? It's evil. It's bad. And we need to pray against it. And any organization that's supporting and enforcing, really, encouraging this lack for the sanctity of human life. So that's new for me. I give that to your own thoughts and your own prayer. But I believe that's one thing. If we as a people of God can pray against these, and it's in the scriptures, very biblical. If you look at the Psalms, continually they're praying against, you know, God, destroy our enemies. And they are the enemies of God. And so I pray intentionally to consider that yourself. But that's what I'm doing, praying intentionally for the destruction of the institutions that are enemies of God, that are trying to lead the world away, these spirits of Jezebel that are out there trying to lead the world away and, in fact, are destroying God's children. So I invite that to you as well. And then the second part of prayer is, again, think about that middle 80%, praying that God would reveal himself to them, that their hearts would be turned, particularly those who call themselves Christian. Can they not see in the Word of God that all life is sacred to God and precious in God's sight, and all life belongs to God? And people say, well, I'm not a one-issue voter. You know, you're a one-issue voter. You know, it kind of drives you crazy. And I say, okay, well, let me just tell you, it was one of two issues that brought destruction on Jerusalem, on God's people. Idolatry, which is connected, really, because you're really an idol if you're, you know, acknowledging the things of the world, right? That's idolatry. And then the resulting is the killing of the innocent. So you say, well, I'm not a one-person, you know, voter, one-issue voter. I would just say, well, just realize how important this issue is, because it's not an issue of law at all. It's a life, a human life. So we need to pray, I believe, against these institutions, and to pray the hearts of those people, that 80%, that their hearts would be turned, that they would see truth and start living and voting according to biblical principles, and our nation would be turned. A day of judgment has been appointed. I mean, we never give up hope, right? We never give up hope. But boy, it sure isn't looking good. We never give up hope, but it sure is not looking good. But God is amazing what he can do. And so we continue to pray and to trust that God is in control. But I think the message from Scripture is clear. If we do not turn from idolatry, if we do not honor the sanctity of human life, a judgment's going to come, not just upon us, but upon the whole world. And so we as a church need to take that message and be bold in it, and also keeping ourselves in the Word of God and being obedient to him in all things. So my brothers and sisters, these are trying times. I believe the kingdom of God is with us, within us, upon us. But truly, for us who have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the best is yet to come. Remember, if judgment comes, that also means the day of our redemption is coming. And in that we have great joy. Because God still loves us, more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?